Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Sabbath. Blessings to you and all your children, all your households. I hope that you enjoyed peace and prosperity this week, or at least peace. Once a year, we promised ourselves that we would remember the Christians of our congregation that lived a faithful life and have died and now rest awaiting the return of Jesus Christ. And today we're going to watch a video or a presentation after I get done speaking. But before that, I want to ask you a question, if I can. I want to ask you the question of, how many people know what a carbon footprint is? And raise your hands if you know what a carbon footprint is. Okay? It's been bandied about a lot. It's being talked a lot about. Carbon footprint is what affects, or what, so to speak, some believe affect global warming. And I'm using it as a definition here only, but I'm going to read what it says. A carbon footprint is the amount of carbon dioxide and greenhouse gases emitted over a lifetime of a human product or service. Ecological footprint compares the human consumption of natural resources used with the Earth's capacity to replace them. In other words, your carbon footprint is a footprint that is what you leave behind in a negative manner. It's what you're going to take away and cannot be replenished. Some believe causing huge damage. Well, I'm not going to be talking about that today. What I want to ask you today is, what is your spiritual footprint? What is going to be your spiritual footprint? The reason I ask that is years ago we got asked, what would you have put on your headstone, or what would you want somebody to say at your funeral? It's an important question, and we all have control over how we're going to affect other people. What is your spiritual footprint? That's what I want to talk about. You and I have been given the greatest responsibility that has been asked of man, and that is to accurately reflect the love that God has given us and bring him to other people. I want to use my job as an example. I was a salesman for years, but now I'm a manager. And that's a whole different kettle. I can't just go out and make it happen as far as sales are concerned. My clients now are the people who work for me. And I joke about it, but I spend a good part of my time every day talking people off bridges. And what I mean by that is I'm constantly having to affect my staff in a positive way. You know, they're discouraged because they've got cranky customers, or some problem happens, they've got to drive clear across town. And then I've got to deal with their personal problems often. You know, sometimes their marriages, or their kids, or they're sick, or whatever. It can be really quite a mess. And, you know, I got thinking about it, I don't really have a chance to be negative with them, because if I'm negative with them, then the whole company I have a negative effect on. So I have to have a footprint every day with them in a positive way, or the whole tone is the wrong tone. And it actually starts with me in the morning. I'm not a person that normally gets up really cheery in the morning, but I've got a family now. And so when my feet hit the ground in the morning, I have to make a decision that I'm going to be positive. And that's not the easiest thing today. A cup of coffee, a little later on, a couple hours, a newspaper, I'm okay. But right off the bat, I'm not like that. So I get up, and I'm making the coffee, and I'm making breakfast, and boy, am I whistling at work, and I am faking it. But I try. So, you know, we do have a choice every single day, don't we? We have a choice, and it is a choice, not to just be positive, but to really have an impact in people's lives, every single person that we come into contact with. Let me ask you this. Where would you go to find out where you could get the format for the best possible spiritual footprint? Where would you go? I know people ask me sometimes, they'll say, well, you know, I want to start reading the Bible, where would you go? And for me, and this is just me, I would say, go to Genesis to get the historical background. And I would probably say go to Deuteronomy and understand the laws and the Torah better. But then I would say, more than anything, and I really believe this strongly, if you and I could live in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we have arrived. So if you would, turn over to Matthew 5, and we'll look at what God says in regards to a spiritual footprint. And there are so many things in here. You could spend a lifetime just meditating on these three chapters. The very beginning of Christ's ministry, and he had these things on his mind. And somebody said this a long time ago, and I think it bears repeating. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are the T-bone steaks of the Bible. I loved hearing that, because that's really true. If you look at it and you analyze it, there's so much in there. But I highlighted a number of different scriptures that will make sure that you have a spiritual footprint. Excuse me for just a second. I need to move that back. It's funny, when you get glasses, it seems this microphone is right in your face. You know that you're going to have a positive spiritual footprint if you're an agent of peace. It says that in there, Matthew 5, verse 9. If you go about every single day trying to bring more peace to people's lives, you know you're going to have a positive spiritual footprint. You know you're going to have a positive spiritual footprint if you're going to be a light to the world. You can't. It's really interesting how Matthew 5, verse 15 reads, you can't hide a light. You cannot hide a light. It's going to come out, and it's a matter of letting it and allowing it to come out. You know that you're going to have a positive spiritual footprint if you teach the commandments. I'd like to read that one, Matthew 5 and verse 19, if I can. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall he be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. It's really important. It's not enough to just observe the commandments, is it? It's very important that we teach them. And it's amazing how many people out there really do believe that the Ten Commandments are important. We've been given unbelievable insight to them, haven't we? And we need to be progressive about it and teach it in balance, not just hold it to ourselves. We'll have a positive spiritual footprint if we resist unwarranted anger. Verse 22 in Matthew 5:28, we'll have a positive spiritual footprint if we never look at another that we're not supposed to with lust, ever. We'll have a positive spiritual footprint if we're willing to give more back, willing to give more than asked. You know, you and I have been asked not only to just give the minimum, we've been asked to give the maximum. We've been asked to give our entire lives. When we were baptized, that's what we did. And so when we're asked to do something, we're asked to give even more than we were originally asked. Matthew 5, verse 43 will tell us we'll have a good spiritual footprint if we're capable of loving those that hate us. We'll have a good spiritual footprint if we give secretly, Matthew 6, verse 1. And we'll have an excellent spiritual footprint if we pray and pray regularly, secretly. We'll have a good spiritual footprint if we forgive regularly, 6:14. Matthew 6, verse 20, we'll have a good spiritual footprint if we store up treasures in heaven and not here on earth. We'll have an excellent spiritual footprint if we serve only God. We'll have an excellent spiritual footprint if we live without worry. I asked you all as a congregation about 2 months ago to help me not worry so much, and I have to say I hope, or I believe that some of you have done that, and I've actually worried a lot less over the last month or so. Of course, I'm praying about that, but I really do feel those prayers. It's important. I'm growing in faith and trust and trying to worry less. We'll have a great spiritual footprint if we seek the kingdom first. In Matthew 7, verse 1, if we judge without condemnation, we'll have a good spiritual footprint. I love the way that he wraps this up in Matthew 7, verse 21. Matthew 7 and verse 21. That scripture there that says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God. Who's going to have a good spiritual footprint? Him who does the will of God, who really does the will of God. Have you ever left your handprint or footprint in cement? You ever done that? And it's there forever, and you put your little initials there? Have you ever left your footprints in the sand? You know, you can walk on the beach and turn around and your footprints are gone. It's really interesting how the end of this chapter wraps up. I want to read Matthew 24 through 27 if I can. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and all the sayings of Matthew 5, 6, and 7 will be, and does them, it will be like him as a wise man who has built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat that house, and it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who's built his house on sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it fell apart. And how great was that fall? You and I have a really good opportunity every single day, wherever we are, to leave a fantastic footprint. And our spiritual footprint will never fade away. Whatever we do now will be, could be, it could have an impact forever on somebody's life. In comparison, a carbon footprint just does the opposite. It's taking away and it can't be replaced. Ironically, our carbon footprint will eventually be burned up in the new heaven and the new earth. Our spiritual footprint should be shaped by faith, filled with love, and cast in the teachings of Jesus Christ. What I'm talking about today, in another word, is legacy. And what legacy are you going to pass on? What footprint are you going to pass on? How will you affect other people? How will you affect your family? How do you affect your work, your community, and the church, the people that we attend with? We will either leave a good one or a bad one. You really don't have a choice. You're going to make and leave a footprint or leave a legacy. I know I like to use my own family. You know, we didn't have it very good when I was growing up, and I'm very proud to say my family has done very well for itself. None of them is repeating the curse, and the legacy that each one of my siblings have handed down to their families has been a much better one than we received. It's just that easy. It's a choice. You know, I saw a TV show last week, and it was stunning. They gave an example of what we do now, what could happen to us now can affect generations and generations and generations. It was fascinating. They gave an example of a young girl who was within the womb, that if her mother suffered through a famine, that her lineage and her downline, terrible things would happen. I mean, and they were able to really show it time and time and time again. But they gave an example, if a young boy experienced a famine at 10, his lineage would do really well. They can't figure it out, but it just goes to show you how much of an impact on simple things can affect your downline, your children, the people that are in your life. So we are talking about legacy, and we did have and have had a group of people here who left us a great legacy. The people that will show up on the screen, I didn't know all of them. We didn't know all of them, but to each one of us, each one of them left some sort of an imprint in our life. I think it's important once a year that we remember those people that lived among us, that were faithful, that struggled just the same way we did and tried to leave the best possible footprint. If you would please turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4. I want to read that. We were at a funeral here a couple weeks ago. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. And they were talking about this person who had died and the effect that she had had on her life. And, you know, I looked around the room, and I know most of the people in the room, and I really consider most of them in the room, almost all of them in the room, very positive people, nice-looking, positive, uplifting people. And there's no removing the fact that she was that way, and her children and her grandchildren are that way. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 through 18. This is such encouraging scripture for those people that don't have these answers that we have. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring him with those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead of Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive will remain and be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And this we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Don't you look forward to seeing those people? I do. I really do. You know, the world is extremely concerned with our carbon footprint right now. God's even more concerned about our spiritual footprint. These are the people who left a good footprint for all of us to enjoy.